The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Stallings joined us an hour ago. Hope you were able to catch up with Coach Stallings. Let's grab Billy up next. Hey, Billy.
Hey, Paul. This is Billy Campbell here.
Wonderful. Great to hear from you.
Yeah. I just wanted to touch base on your caller said, talked about Scottsboro boys.
Yes, please.
Jerry Bogle and the other one was Troy Ferguson.
You're right. Troy Ferguson.
Yeah, he was about 6'7". He used to go with me. I used to referee football games, and he did it up until he had a stroke, and then he passed away, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago. I just wanted to pass that
on. So you said Troy passed away?
Yeah, okay. Jerry Bogle passed away first.
Okay, I remember when Jerry, I'm glad you told me about Troy. Cause, I mean, these two guys, as you know, I mean, I got to know them very well. They would come up to our studio every once in a while, and I would obviously see them. And they're really unsung heroes because, I mean, they were such a part of the texture and tapestry of Alabama football.
Yeah, we would go on Friday nights to referee football games, and we'd talk about things about that. And, of course, they were on the on y'all's show on what was that other – sports announcer on Friday nights.
Oh, yeah.
Can't think of his name. It was you two on there on Friday night, high school.
Right. Yeah, I think. Rick.
He did pass away 2 or 3 years ago. I'd seen him in Scottsboro. I'd referee in a basketball game because I've been doing this stuff now for, I think, this is my 49th year. Matter of fact, I'm on my way right now to umpire softball game.
So Billy, hold on a second. You've been officiating and refereeing and umpiring for 49 years?
That's correct.
Wow. So what do you do high school or tell me what you do?
Yes. I do high school. I did high school football for 47 years, and then I'm still doing basketball. Of course, I'm 74, and I know that I might give this up one of these days, but I'm just not ready to give it up yet. I can still get it down the court.
Now, Billy, I don't know anything, but it would seem to me that basketball would take the – I mean, you're running literally for 2 hours. Is that the most difficult one?
It is the most difficult one to officiate of all. But I picked up doing volleyball during the week, so I had to pretty much give up one. I gave up football because it was just too much for me to do both of those.
I mean, do you have to? I know the SEC officials. I once did an interview on some. They had to pass a certain type of test, a physical test. Does Alabama high school require that?
No, we don't have that. But I'm a retired military guy.
I would think you got it covered then, right, Billy?
Yeah, I'm still in pretty good shape. Lord has blessed me so much to give me the option to really go. I do it mainly for the kids. I know some people can do it for the money, but I really love the kids, so I always have. So they can't play it without us, so it's just a scrimmage game without us calling the games. And we need to get more people involved in it.
Well, that is fantastic. How long did you serve?
I was I served 24 active duty years, and I spent one tour in Turkey and one tour in Vietnam, and then other times at the stateside.
Well, you've seen a lot. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. I've been around a lot of places, and I've officiated across the world.
So, of all the athletes that you've officiated or seen, who's the best one?
Oh, that's a good question. George Bethune was really great. Danny Warfel, I refereed his games when I stayed down in Florida. Really great.
Yeah, I imagine Danny was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, his daddy was a lieutenant colonel down there as a chaplain.
Oh, that's right. He sure was. I remember talking to him. That's amazing.
Yeah, so, and I've Rolando McClain and Emmett Smith.
Oh, man.
You may know him.
I do know him. I've hung around Emmett a few times. I mean, when Emmett played high school, he was out, I think, at Escambia, wasn't he?
That's correct.
I mean, he may have been one of the greatest high school running backs of all time. He wasn't bad. That's he correct. Wasn't bad in college or the pros either, but I'm just talking high school.
Yeah, well, he played Dallas Cowboys. He was really great. And, of course, there's a bunch of others that I've had the pleasure to officiate their games. And, of course, I was stationed down in Fort Walton Beach, and he played Escambia, and they come down to Niceville and shot the Atchie High School in Fort Walton Beach. So was Danny Warfel. So,
yeah.
He played Fort Walton Beach High School. So.
Yeah, Bill, that's really cool. I can't tell you how happy I am you called in. That I could talk to you about all those guys. That's really what a life you've lived.
Yeah, some of them went to Auburn, some of them went to Alabama. Of course, I'm an Alabama fan, but that's okay. It's all in fun, right?
Well, theoretically it is, Billy, but
it is.
Well, yeah, when you talking about Troy and Jerry, they took. I mean, they. What always used to get me is they took – I mean, they had fun with it, but they took their role seriously, though, as the Bama boys or whatever the official – the Roll Tide boys or whatever they called them.
Yeah, absolutely. They were a hoot. Troy was a good man.
He was.
He was a good official. He was my umpire a lot of times, and we really had a good time officiating.
Well, Billy, what a pleasure it is to hear from you today. I'm just so intrigued by those stories that you have.
Yeah, if you live long enough, I'm be 75 come my birthday, and like I said, I'm trying to make it. If I make one more year, I'll have 50 years in.
Hey, Billy, you only have Saban by a couple of years, so you don't have to go anywhere.
Right, he can still do it.
You're right.
He's in good shape. People need to do what they love to do as long as they can, because it will run out.
Billy, how much of the military do you think you attribute to being able to stay in shape? Is that a big part of it, or were you in good shape even before then?
Well, I was in good shape before that. I've always been in sports ever since I was in the sixth grade. I've either played it or officiated. Ever since then, I played it in the military, and then I gave it up and started officiating. So, long I want to stay involved. So,
well, I wish we could grab you and get you on one of those Saturday games that we sit around and complain about with the officiating.
Yeah, I do some looking at them and evaluating them. So, of course, evaluating is a good thing for us. We use evaluation to get better.
Absolutely.
And they've done a great job with that with the high school officials. Of course, some of the officials that I've officiated with went on and called in the pros.
Right.
I mean, there was a couple in the pros.
Right.
And some of them in the SEC.
Well, I can imagine.
So one of them's in our rules interpreter in the state of Alabama now. He used to do it. So.
Well, Billy, anyway, listen, thank you for sharing that with us. Congratulations, and I hope you keep going as long as you can.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a shot. Stay in good shape. Keep on running.
You bet. I hear you. Hey, thank you, Billy. 49 years as an official. I don't know. By now the audience knows I'm a sucker for those stories. So anybody that can do something that long with that much passion, and by the way, you are never going to get rich being a high school official. You have to do it because you love it. Let's continue with John up next. Hey, John, go right ahead.
Thank you, Paul. What a call that was.
That was amazing.
That was incredible. Simply incredible.
It was.
And he's right, Paul. I've done a little bit of ball back with coaching and softball and baseball, and we do need more help. I don't do it anymore, but we need more volunteers out there, Paul, is what we need. We need more good quality volunteers, and it would help out. It would help out tremendously.
That's fantastic. I hope people listen to you.
But anyway, Gene Stallings, real quick. Paul, I'd met him several years ago when he was – Leroy Jordan was pushing his industrial playgrounds. I don't know if you knew he built those, Paul, back 20, 25 years ago.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, your parks. He used to build the upper end equipment. But anyway, I'd met Gene that night in Fairhope, Alabama. You know where that's at.
Oh, sure.
It was him. It was Dr. Witt. It was Leroy Jordan, Kenny.
Quite a crew.
Oh, it was quite a crew. I'll never forget it. And there was about 20 of us waiting in line to shake Gene's hand. And I was like 19th or 20th. I was almost last. And Gene wasn't feeling well. He was sick. But he still came down. And he waited until all of us, till he could speak to all of us. And he his arm around me, Paul. He put his arm around me and he said, "Son, how are you and how's your family doing?" And I'll never forget that, Paul. It was just genuine. And what a mountain of a man he was, Paul. And thank you for your time.
John, thank you for that story. And it is a great reminder that you think about that. And we've all been there as adults, or I remember being blown off as a kid trying to get an autograph from somebody famous. We all do. And how much that means to everyone, the way Coach Stallings displayed his class during that conversation. We'll take a break. More to come. A lot to do. It's been a busy one. We are back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back here and continuing with your phone calls. And Dan is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks a lot. Paul, I noticed I was on the bubble in the bracket. And it's, it's really kind of bittersweet, Paul. I know I'm off subject, and I know I'm not the greatest caller, but I remember when I first started calling in, it was really good. But then you cut me out of my ditties. I couldn't do them no more. And then I went in the bracket against Bama Nick. And I guess he tore me up, Paul, and that was kind of...
I wish you had not reminded us of that, Dan, because that might be a disqualifier for all future brackets.
I know, Paul.
Well, Dan,
but I'm just honored to even be mentioned.
Well, we appreciate that, and we hope that you're able to squeeze into the bracket. Don't know if he helped himself or hurt himself there. I-Man is up next.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Hey, I got a quick bit of trivia for you, and then I got a call or a couple topics. All right, fill in the blank.
I am the crazy world of Arthur Brown, and I bring to you. Fill it in. Are you familiar?
I feel like I'm Louisiana Dan here right now. I don't know what to say.
Fire. Don't you remember that song? Fire. Dun, dun, dun. The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. And he had this helmet on that had the flames on it and everything. It's pretty cool. You know, Paul, I hate to come in and intrude on this Bama Love Fest and infomercial, but you was talking about sports memorabilia. I've got a few years back, I came up to the SEC Media Days, and we all kind of hung out up there. And I brought my guitar, and you signed it. And this is the cool thing about it. Les Miles signed it, and so did Hugh Freeze. And at the end of the season, they both got fired.
I'm a little nervous being on there with both of them.
Yeah, but see, you still got a job.
Right.
But, you at least have a job. And I tell you, for all you people out there that want to have your picture made with him, you got to remember, a lot of the people that Paul's had his picture made with, they're in federal prison right
now.
So be careful about
their
pictures.
I mean, I was on I think it's finally abated, but there was a stretch of friends of ours who were long gone to prison.
No, it was the grocery list.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have shopped at every store in the mall and pulled somebody out.
Yeah, no.
Paul, I'm really surprised you didn't catch the word fire. I mean, the history of music that lives in your soul. And that's real cool that guy caught on to your James Taylor thing. We've been talking about that for, 20 years?
At least.
I mean, you've been mistaken for James Taylor for a long time. Didn't one time you say your dad was an optometrist, right?
Yeah, by the way, I was not married to Carly Simon in the 70s.
And she wasn't singing about you either, was she?
I think she was, but that's beside the point.
that's beside the point. That's another day.
You have to really be inside the music world to understand where we're going there.
Oh, absolutely. And, I'm not going to tell anybody.
My horse did win at Saratoga, and I went to Nova Scotia to see a total eclipse of the sun.
Yeah, and you know what? I was riding on a horse with no name through the desert. And it's funny how that worked out. You're in Saratoga, and I'm in the damn desert.
That's funny. And I got caught up last night on Ventura Highway.
Yeah, but you know what? Wild horses will never drag me away. I left you hanging, didn't I? You wasn't expecting that. We got on this horse thing. You know,
no.
Paul, that was a real good interview with Gene Stallings. I always respected him as a man and as a parent. I tell you, he just and I guess he's a pretty good little football coach for the Bammers up there. But
he wasn't bad.
I had huge respect for him as a man and a father. I tell you, to hear him talk about his son it just brings tears to your eyes.
Yeah, that story that he's told the story before. When he and his wife were in the waiting room, and they came out and told Coach Stallings that his son had Downs, he passed out and literally hit the floor. And he said it tonight. It was the worst moment of his life. It turned out to be the best thing that ever happened. Thanks for the call, Robbie in Jacksonville, Florida. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I was just calling to let you know, you probably already heard, but that one of the original members of the Lynyrd Skynyrd Band, Gary Rosington, passed away Sunday evening.
Yeah, I was reading about him today, and he was really a critical member. I mean, obviously, every time I go to Jacksonville, I can't help but think of Skynyrd. But after that crash, he kept it going, and it was his guitar slide. Am I right on this? That was the most famous one on Freebird.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
I mean,
sir.
I know he helped write Freebird in Sweet Home Alabama.
Yes, sir, and several more. Yes, sir. Yeah. Sure did. Well, I just wanted to pass it on to you and your callers, and I appreciate everything you do for the sport industry, and I love watching you and listening to you every day.
Thank you very much, Robbie. Yeah, I mean, that Skynyrd went down, Ronnie Van Sant and a couple others went down in 77, October of 77, and they're still out touring. It's not hard to do the math on that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Pony is in Louisiana. Hello, Pony.
Hello. How are you, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I just saw the theme was sports memorabilia, and I graduated from Alabama in 76. And my dad was a TVA engineer plus a football referee, and we'd grown up with Ozzie Newsome. And I found out my dad had worked a bunch of overtime putting me through Alabama. And right when I was graduating in 76, I said, one thing I can do is Coach Bryant's book, Bear, had just came out, The Hard Life and Good Times of Alabama's Coach Bryant.
Right.
And I was going to get that thing signed one way or another. So I went over to the athletic dorm and I found Ozzie Newsome, who I played with and against and grew up with in high school. And said, Ozzie, get me into Coach Bryant's office. He says, I don't know how I'm going to do that, Tom. You're just going to have to find your way down to the bottom of the Coliseum and find his office. So I started wandering around down there. And I had the book, and I found this little lady sitting in the desk outside this office. And I said, is this Coach Bryant's office? And she said, yes, it is. I said, well, I gave her my sob story. My dad worked all this overtime, put me through school, had worked so many hours at TVA at that power plant, making sure I was going to get out of school with an education. And I said, you know, I just really would like to get Coach Bryant to sign this biography, if he could. And she goes, well, come on in. He's not doing anything. And I was like, seriously. So she opened up the door, and I looked in there, and Coach Bryant was sitting at his desk with a bunch of papers and an ashtray full of Chesterfields, I guess.
This is great.
And he looked up over his glasses at me, he looked over the top of his glasses, and she gave him my sob story about everything going on, and he says, yeah, I'll sign it. And I'm standing there 22 years old thinking, I can't believe I'm standing here doing this. And I kind of muttered something, Coach, I wish I could have played for you. And I think he said some should have and some shouldn't have.
And that's funny.
He handed me the book, and best wishes, Paul Bear Bryant. And I took it home to my dad there in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. And I handed it to him Christmas Eve, and he's looking at it. And he says, is this real? I go, Dad, it's real. I stood there in Coach Bryant's office when he signed it. And my dad broke down in tears. And happiest moment I think I ever made for
That is truly remarkable, Pony. And what year was this? Do you remember?
This is 1976, right before I graduated geology, professional degree in geology. I worked here in the oil fields in Louisiana for many, many years.
You know, and I don't mean to indict anyone today, but you couldn't do that today. Never get in.
No.
Because there's so much security, and nobody. If you're not on the approved list, you're not getting into that building or anybody else's building anymore. And back then, you're living proof of it. And I think it also speaks of who he was. He knew how much it. I mean, he was smart enough to know how much it meant to people. And I think deep down, he enjoyed doing that kind of thing. But by the way, I think he also admired the fact that you had the moxie to fight your way through the anxiety of getting down there and doing that too.
Well, it was kind of eye opening to just wander around and find it. I guess it was meant to be. And when Ozzie, we grew up together, played little league baseball together, and he and his brother Thomas were the first two African American kids to play little league baseball in the state of Alabama, and that was a lot in hand to do with my dad. Who was president of Little League at the time. And he stood at the gate with a bunch of World War II and Korean War vets and said, these boys are going to play. If you don't like it, there's the gate.
That's
and
amazing.
Ozzie and Thomas played ball. And I wish you could have seen Ozzie play any sport. He was amazing.
I can't remember. I saw Ozzie in December, and I've known him a long time, not very well, but I can tell you, I could barely speak to him. He's that great of a figure in Alabama and really NFL history. Thank you so much for sharing that story. That is a mind-blowing story. We're up against the break. Scott Rabelais will join us in just a few minutes, talk about what's happening in Baton Rouge.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back, and we're glad all of you are here. Scott Rabelais as well, it's always fun to catch up with Scott, covers LSU. Scott, thank you for joining us. You had a story the other day that got a lot of people's attention about what LSU's three permanent rivals are going to look like. This is in the wake of Nick Saban being a little bit upset, according to reports, about LSU being on his docket. Good afternoon. Tell us about what you learned in relation to what the future looks like for LSU.
Yeah, Paul, good afternoon to you. Obviously, it's starting to come out who's playing who, and I think Brian Kelly said a similar thing to Heather Dinich this week, that LSU, it looks like LSU's going to play Alabama, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M. Geographically, this makes sense. These are three of the four closest schools to Baton Rouge, three SEC rivals. The closest one is Mississippi State, who LSU has played more than anyone in football. But that rivalry would apparently, go to a rotating basis. But Ole Miss has a lot of history there. LSU and Texas A&M, I think they've tried to make that a very, a big rivalry since they joined the league about a decade ago. And LSU and Alabama has been, over the last 10 years or so, been as high a rated game as there is for any SEC football game. So I think ESPN is keen to see that stick around. And it's challenging. It's daunting, but I think it makes a lot of sense from a lot of perspective. I thought maybe the schools would be Ole Miss, Miss State, and A&M, or something like that. But it probably makes a lot of sense from an LSU perspective. And there's some tough games, but you have to play a lot of tough people anyway in the SEC, no matter who you get.
Scott, listen, you can interpret Nick Saban's comment however you choose. Many interpreted it as he was a little surprised and wasn't happy. He didn't say this specifically, that LSU was on there. You assumed Auburn in Tennessee. How did his comments go over among LSU fans with whom you have spoken?
Well, I think there's a feeling that a general feeling around here that Nick sees LSU as a growing threat again. I mean, obviously, it wasn't that long ago LSU won the national championship, but Alabama's had their way in the rivalry overall, for most of the decade and a half that he's been in Alabama, and you just have a feeling that he sees this as more of a serious, consistent threat. And look, the way it's been explained to me, Paul, is you've probably heard the same thing. Is that if you're considered a have in the SEC going forward when Texas and OU join, you're going to play two haves and a have-not. And Tennessee, despite their recent success, is still kind of considered a have-not in the bigger time frame of things. And so I think that's why Alabama, obviously, they're going to play Auburn. And then Tennessee is a program that they've had their way with, beating them. This is Nick's first loss to them. This has been in Alabama this past season. And then LSU is another program. So I can see how he sees that he's playing three halves at this point. But, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of crying on Nick Saban and Alabama's behalf around the rest of the SEC.
Yeah, that is not going to happen. No reporting necessary for that prediction. Scott, practice is about to begin. I know there's a lot of anticipation. The expectations are pretty high, as you well know. How do you see it? And what are you keying on as Brian Kelly's year two begins?
Well, the expectations are pretty high, obviously, to come in the first year and win the West. And, yes, they got hammered by Georgia in the SEC championship game, but finished with 10 wins and you know, ranked pretty high, beat this two out of Purdue in the Citrus Bowl. And so I think expectations are high. With Jaden Daniels coming back, there are a lot of questions about him. I think a lot of people are like, is he the guy or not? And he won the job. The fact that he's coming back gives LSU one of the top quarterbacks in the SEC coming back. That's a good place to start. Of course, one thing that's going to bear a lot of watching in the spring and in the preseason is the quarterback competition between him and Garrett Nussmeier. Brian Kelly talked to our Wilson Alexander, our beat writer, today, and he told him that they intentionally played them both in the Citrus Bowl. But that was a one-off thing. He wants a one quarterback to control the job going forward. They're going to give Garrett his shot, but it sounds like Jaden Daniels would have to regress somewhat from what I'm hearing, somehow, or Garrett would have to take a huge leap forward for him to beat him out this year. But they want Garrett to stay engaged because he could be the guy in 2024. A lot of weapons come back on offense. The defense needs some retooling. A lot of guys are going to be out in the spring. There's a veritable laundry list of players who are going to miss time this spring, including Mason Taylor, their fine young tight end from last year, Armani Goodwin, the running back, Mickey Wingo, and Aaron Anderson, the wide receiver transfer from Alabama. So a chance for a lot of players, maybe a little bit down the depth chart, to get some good time in front of the coaches in better practice situations, more visible practice situations this spring. And then they hope to have everyone healthy and ready to go in the fall. No one that we're hearing is going to be out completely, but it'll be a lot of guys who are sitting out in the spring, spring practice for now, resting up and healing up some injuries.
With Scott Rabelais, before Scott leaves, we all know how last season began. It was not a good beginning with that debacle at the end of the game for LSU against Florida State. This year, the same game, it's going to be eagerly anticipated, maybe a little bit anxiously anticipated for some in Baton Rouge. The game's in Florida. The other games at Mississippi State pretty early on, at Ole Miss and at Missouri. That's the first half of the season, and then Auburn at home at Alabama. The LSU game comes a little bit later, and then A&M at home. How would you evaluate the schedule? It's got some really good moments, and then the beginning looks tough.
It does. I mean, the Florida State game, that could be two preseason top 10 teams going at it with some early implications in the college football playoff race. I think it's a game that I think LSU harbors. I'm getting a little sense fault of going into the 2019 season. I'm not saying that LSU is going to be that team because that was the best team they ever had. But I'm in this perspective that going into the season in 2019, you thought LSU could get through some of these tougher games and only have one loss, they could be in the college football playoff hunt. And I think that's the case again for LSU this year. That means if you don't beat Florida State, you probably got to win at Alabama. If you beat Florida State, you can maybe survive a loss to Alabama, and you got to hold serve against everybody else, which is not going to be easy by any means. But those are the two games that really stand out for me this year. Speaking of the Florida State game, LSU, their special teams was just a dumpster fire all year long. As a lot of people will remember, including the Florida State game with the extra point got blocked at the end to keep them out of overtime. Brian Polian, the special teams coordinator, got kicked upstairs into more of a general manager role. And then Kelly has said they're going to spread out the special teams duties among the whole staff. They have a coordinator, but John Jancic, but it's going to be a special teams by committee. Maybe that's not the best idea in the world people have heard of, but it probably can't be much worse than what else you did on special teams in 2022.
No, Scott, I think I could do a better job, and I've never coached special teams. Great to have you on, and we'll be coming back because LSU is a school everyone is watching in spring and obviously before the season. Be well, Scott Rabelais joining us from Baton Rouge. We head to the break. Plenty of time for you to get in here on the phones at 855-242-7285.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much I know.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. We continue with more of your phone calls. And Jim is in San Francisco. Hello, Jim. Hey, Jim, go right ahead. Don't like the odds of that call working. How about Renee in Colorado City? Hello, Renee. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great.
From Colorado Springs.
Thank you very much.
Colorado Springs, yeah. So I just listened to the story of Bear Bryant and the student and the book signing. And my daughter graduated from Alabama in 2020, undergrad, and then 2021 MBA. And she loved going to the Catholic Church on campus in Tuscaloosa, especially when she saw Nick Saban there. So, you know, shaking his hand and Miss Harry's hand during the, you know, giving peace be with you time was a real highlight, and I know a lot of students get to interact with Nick and Terry there. And so I just wanted to say it's not such a, you know, he impacts all the students, and she does too. And we jokingly call Nick Saint Nick when he's in church.
Oh, so, really?
Anyway, I just wanted to pass that on. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember, I think Terry Saban told me once that when they first moved, she would... They would drive up. She would go in, and then he would hide in the car, until the service
started.
Now that may have changed. I'm not sure that was the church you're talking about, but anyway, it's who he is, and you can't hide when you're Nick Saban in Alabama or anywhere for that matter.
And they're so gracious, you know, they're just normal people praying and, you know, and interacting with the students. And you can see this, you know, I've been there when he's there, and he's just so gracious. And the kids are just so excited to shake his hand and be near him. So, you know, there is interaction, and Bear Bryant is fantastic, but I'm just thrilled for like the 6,000 Catholic students on campus.
Oh, that's
able
great.
To go.
Yeah.
And
Renee, I'll never forget, shows you how wrong I was. I remember flying out to L.A. in 2010 in January for the first national championship game, and a couple of students were sitting next to me, young people like your kids, and I sounded like every aging parent. I said, you just don't realize how special this experience is. You may never get this chance again. And of course, I think Alabama's played for
it really is.
nine national championships under Nick Saban.
Oh, it's such a fantastic experience. And I tell you, Alabama, they were so smart. They recruited from all over the country. And Colorado Springs is one of the areas they heavily recruit from. They have big scholarships for high SAT scores, or they did, you know, they have this marketing program. And the reason why is because of football. You know, football paid for these scholarships. So we're so grateful to the football program and how it supports the educational aspects as well.
What an experience. Renee, thanks for sharing it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You bet. You be well. Jason is up next. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. Glad to hear it. Listen, I see you. You seem to be interested in memorabilia, sports memorabilia. So I thought I had an interesting item that you might find.
Sure.
I don't know. Worthy of airing. So I happened to be walking through an antique store here in McDonough, Georgia, maybe 3-4 years ago, and happened upon a Bear Bryant autograph. And wouldn't you know it, he was kind enough to write Happy Birthday, War Eagle, Bear Bryant.
Oh, wow.
So I think I am the proud owner of the one and only time he probably wrote those words. I get to peacock around with it, although it's here
well,
in Georgia.
Yeah, he didn't lose often to Auburn. He went to, what, 9 straight years without losing. But he did lose his last game to Auburn, as you well know. Hey, thank you for sharing that. We have one more hour to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.